Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming. We're going to learn a mitzvah related to Parsha Shlach this week. The Torah in this week's Parsha states famously, "Vayalachem tzitzis urisem oso uzahar demis kumitzvos Hashem asisim osam." Right. So we have tzitzis velosasuru achel vavchem erchmeinechem. So by means of looking at the strings of our tzitzis, our what hearts should not stray. Nor should our eyes stray. Is that what it means? Not really. So these words are crucial. What does it mean? You shall not stray after your heart and after your eyes, that which you really want to do. Rashi says, what does the word sasuru mean? Kamo mitur haaretz, actually, what parsha? This parsha, very good. Earlier in the parsha, we know about the meraglim. So that lashon of the meraglim is also a lashon of taturu, namely mitur haaretz. So the Torah here is saying velo sasuru achrei levavchem. Now here's a crucial Rashi. This is going to be the gateway for everything we're going to learn this evening. Halev va'einayim heim meraglim leguf. So again, the heart and the eyes are the spies of your body. Umesarsim lo. As avero, so seemingly they will convince you to do an avero. They will be the go-between, the messenger between you and the averos. Ha'ayin roes, so the first stage is that your eyes will see something enjoyable. The halev chomed, the heart will desire that which your eyes saw. And the last, third stage, the haguf os es averos. So again, your eyes will see, your lev will want it, and then your body will actually go through with the averus. So the eyes are like the spies of your body, and therefore the Torah is saying, don't pursue that which your heart wants, and don't pursue that which your eyes are kind of telling you that you want. Yeah, Jerome and then Robert, yeah.
So it's very interesting. Rashi is taking the language of Sasuru and using the Robert.
Yeah, exactly.
And the issue with Robert is they were told to be the Sasuru.
Right. Oh, very good. Very good. It's exactly right, Jerome. So Jerome's pointing out that you don't have to necessarily make a bad turn, right? Meaning there are three steps, right? You don't have to have your taturu. Right, right. Meaning there's the positive version, like you can see something, but it doesn't mean your eyes need to turn into meragim, so to speak. Right? Meaning they messed up. Right. Very good. Exactly. Very good. Very good. Yeah, Robert, what do you want to say?
Referred to a vast array of different types of potential
averus. Yeah, 100%. We haven't seen any specific avaria. 100%, you're right. At least until now. So this evening, we want to speak about the topic known as Shmiras Einayim. Shmiras Einayim, generally speaking, is associated with the field of Musar, whereby Rabbanim or whomever will get up and say, you should have Chizuk and Shmiras Einayim. And what that often means is that there are people who are not in control of their eyes. They're addicted or they struggle with looking at inappropriate things. And therefore, they need to work on that midah. This is associated with, you know, filters on the internet and stuff like that. And it usually is a term associated with people who are already sinning, struggling with a particular taiva, a desire, and they need to work on that and put it in, they need to control their desires. That's not what we're going to speak about this evening. This is not a musar shmooze. This is not about, I know you're sinning and let me help you get out of that rut. No, this is, what does the halacha allow your eyes to even see? I want to talk about a very clear halacha this evening. We live in a very complicated world. It's 2022. It's now the summer. And I want to know what is allowed to go into your vision and what is not allowed to go into your vision. Because again, we said there are three steps, the eyes, the heart, and the action. So stages two and three are very obvious. Your heart, your desires, and you can't be thinking or, you know, dwelling, fantasizing obviously about things that are forbidden. That's, you know, the heart. It's obviously forbidden. Stage number three, the action, obviously is forbidden. A person cannot act upon his desires. So the desires are usur. The acting on the desires is obviously usur. But what about that first stage? The eyes. those meraglim. What is forbidden and what is not forbidden? Because you can't really navigate this world too easily if you're really going to say that your eyes need to remain 100% pure. Yikes. Now, let's think first things first. There are communities, and like the Haredi world, who really keep pure standards. We know that when you walk into Mea Shearim, there are big signs, as Hashem will see them with our own eyes soon, that, you know, if you're not dressed modestly, please don't come here. And that's beautiful in its own way. It's their style. And Halavai, the whole world was like that. But it's not like that. So two points of introduction. In the year 2012, I believe, there was a massive asifa in City Field. I think it was already City Field by then, right? Whereby there were many, many Jews gathered together to speak about the importance of filters on the internet and stuff like that. Rabbi Moshe Weinberger, Shlita, had a response to that asifa that was called Rabbi Moshe Weinberger Unfiltered. And he very much disagreed with the approach that was taken at that asifa. Why? All of the rabbanim got up and said, this filter, that filter, you know, you have to really be vigilant and more cautious the way you navigate the internet and your phone, blah, blah, blah. And Rav Moshe Weinberger said, that's not the way you live in this world. You can't put a filter on Fifth Avenue. It's just not possible. Where does the filter need to go? On yourself. Namely, you need to have your shemayim. You need to know how to live in this world filtered. I.e., yeah, of course, you're going to be exposed to certain things. And the question is, okay, so that's stage one. Your eyes are going to see things. But you are still in control of the lave, stage number two, and the guf, stage number three. So that was a very, very important response he had. Second point of introduction, my Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky, the Menahal Rosh Shiva of Halb and DRS, the Halb High School for Boys. Remember when I was in college, he used to give these hashkafa shmuzim. And naturally, before a person's married, certainly high school, college years, you know, that's where you need a lot of more of the chizuk, the musr. And I remember he once in a musr shmuz said that he had spoken to quote-unquote Gedola Yisrael about this topic. I don't know who he was in touch with. And he said the biggest advice you could give someone in this area is play it cool, calm it down. Because what the Yetzer Hara tries to do is exaggerate and makes things seem very exciting, right? And the idea is you need to tell yourself it's just not that big of a deal. Not that big of a deal. That was a certain strategy that I remember many, many people felt to be helpful in their Avodas Hashem in the college stage of life. And Kachava, many years later, I was actually able to give a video on the organization Guard Your Eyes, GYE, a very popular Shmir Sanaim type of organization. And that's, I quoted my Rebbe, and the advice I had given was just, it's not a big deal. Try to live life as downplaying this energy, even though the Torah likes to exaggerate. But we say, it's just not that big of a deal. So that's the background. But last point of introduction before we get into the real Makoros of the evening after the Rashi was many people struggle with this. It's not uncommon for people to just say bring this up as real issues. So although one might have thought this is a little bit more reserved for single men, high school, college age, you know, let's just say the realities are a little bit more challenging. Everyone needs to know these halachas well. Again, we're not going to give a mussar shmuz this evening, so let's at least come away with a clear understanding of the halacha. Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach. Okay. So now that the Torah said, what do you think should be usur? If you were the Ramban saying there's an isser midoraisa, what should the isser be? You're not allowed to see what. You're not allowed to think about what. So says the Ramban, Sefer HaMitzvos Losa say, Mem Zayin, he's hiranu shalo lasur acharei levavenu. Ad shenamin deus hefeich hadeus shechivesanu haTorah. You're not allowed to allow your heart to take your thoughts to a place that is antithetical to Torah Hashkafa. Meaning, imagine you go to like philosophy camp and you, all of a sudden you start just thinking about all these things and you let your mind kind of wander to the nth degree and you challenge every possibility ever until you basically don't believe in Hashem anymore. So that would be velosasuru acharei levavchem. Avon the Katzer Machshavosenu says the Rambam, you have to limit your thoughts a little bit. V'nasim lehen gvul na'amod etzlein. You have to have boundaries. That's what the Torah means. V'lo sasurach elevavchem v'chenechem. What does the Sifri mean? Also in Shas, achrei levavchem zem minus. Meaning, what does it mean you can't strive to your heart? So to think about all the potential philosophies that are completely, whether they are, you want to call them atheist related or, I don't know, just heretical. Ultimately, you need to kind of limit your thoughts. Now, it is true that the Rambam elsewhere in defining the mitzvah of Emunah doesn't want us to kind of prove God. That being said, we're never going to be able to fully answer every question. If you kind of just let your mind wander, you could end up off the derech. And therefore, that is what the Rambam would call Achrei Levavcha. Good?
Is it something different than Rashi? Rashi said Lev and Mayim.
Very good. Very good. So no, they're thinking about different, they're
so
seemingly,
Lev and
Machshava
are the same?
Lev and Machshava are the same, correct. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I would say that, yeah. Yeah, it's a good point. Very good point. But either way, they're not necessarily commenting exactly on the same, you know, spectrum necessarily. But yeah, certainly, though, I would say that you're right, that Lev and Machshava are the same, 100%. Yeah.
You're basically teaching Asher Atem Zoyna Machareyem to be Avodah Zara.
Yes, 100%. That's what the Sifri says. Achrei Levavchem Zem Minus. That's what the word is. So, Velosa Suru.
Right, so we're not talking Gilor, right?
No, the Pusik is double-edged. Here it is. I'm going to continue the Rambam now. Very good, Abi. Very good point. Then the Rambam continues. V'acharei einechem ze znus. That is immoral behavior. Rotzalomar hemsheich achar hataivos hagashmius v'yisasek hamachshava behem. See, I underline that line of the Rambam because where do you violate this issur with? Which part of your body? The Rambam does not say with your eyes. He says when you are so involved with the physical desire and your thoughts are so preoccupied with this thing, so then you have violated the Isser Mito Arisa. So ironically, the Isser is not in your eyes, nor is it with your body. Rather, it's your being involved, your preoccupied thoughts, your lev, your machshava,
fantasy.
Your fantasy, that's exactly. So hypothetically, again, a little bit of a sensitive topic, obviously, but if someone were to say that they were constantly addicted to inappropriate images on their phone, so that lifestyle, that area of enjoying that activity, not the action. I'm not saying to do any physical, enjoyable behavior with the body. We'll say lustful lifestyle. That's the Isser. But what's a little bit ironic, because when the Torah says, V'lo taturu acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem, so the lo sasuru is the Iker. Meaning, for the eyes to see, the Rambam would say, that's not that big of a deal. Your eyes will be exposed to something. What happens next? That's when the Isser Midoraisa kicks in. It's how you then dwell upon those images. That's the Isser Midoraisa. So I'll tell you a fascinating conversation I once had with a non-religious Israeli taxi driver. So there I was in high school, but already very motivated religiously. And you know what? I was probably already in Madrid, and then just by summer call, I don't know. But I was, let's just say, more religiously motivated than the non-religious taxi driver, as you'll see from the story. So we see something, I don't know, either a person or a billboard or whatever. And the taxi driver made an inappropriate comment like, you know, how about, you know, that, you know, and I said, V'lo taturu acharei einechem to him. You're a Muslim.
Excuse me, a long time coming.
So I said that to my new buddy. And I happened to have been friendly with this individual driver, you know. And he said to me, he was a Lamdan. He said, lo taturu, i.e. what? He had a good time. He said, you're allowed to look. You're just not allowed to pursue, right?
That was his, look, but don't touch.
Right, that was his shyla to me, right? Now, obviously, that's ridiculous. However, you could understand the Rambam and that comment being in line to some degree, meaning the eyes are not the body part that is responsible for sin, according to the Rambam. The Isser Mido Araisa, at least this Isser Mido Araisa, is not in the eyes, but rather, says the Rambam, Hemsheich Achar HaTaivos HaGashmius v'yisasek ha-machshava ben, meaning dwelling, investing that much mental energy. It's like getting addicted, getting really excited about it. That's the problem. Oh, so that's the Rambam's approach, if I'm not mistaken. In contrast, the Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shaar Yeshuva writes the following. So in the context of the Shaar Yeshuva, the Rabbeinu Yonah is explaining how the different senses given to man need to be channeled only for good and not for bad. And it says Rabbeinu Yonah, chush ha-re'ut v'chush ha-shma, meaning seeing and listening. V'nemar al chush ha-re'ut. So he's speaking specifically about your eyes, not about your machshava. Speaking about your eyes, and in that context, the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Shari Tshuva says, Shari Gimel, it's like Samach Dalet, I think I've labeled it here, Belos Asru Acher Levavchem Echeinechem, Huz Harnu Bazesh Lo Yistakel Adam Be'eshes Ishu B'Sha'arayos Pen Yukash Behen. So where does the Isser lie? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, don't look at another woman, a married woman, etc. Now, he does say, lest it lead to other things. Remember, there are three stages. It's all about that Rashi ala Torah. Rashi makes it very clear. Three stages. The heart is stage number two, but eyes are stage number one. So whereas the Rambam emphasizes stage number two is the Isamidaraisa, Rabbeinu Yonah says stage number one is the Isamidaraisa, namely the eyes, just looking inherently is the problem. And again, Rabbeinu Yonah does say, because it will lead to future things, but the Orchos Chaim, a Rishon, a Halachic Rishon, presents this Rabbeinu Yonah as saying, Kasav Harav Rabbeinu Yonah, Asr La'adim L'histakel Be'eshes Isha, a person may not even look at a married woman, Min HaTorah, and that looking is an Esemi D'Oraisa, Shrema Velos Asuru Achei Levav Kamechein Eichem. So even though it's seemingly not the way the Rambam learns the Isamid Araisa, apparently you can argue that Rabbeinu Yonah would disagree and hold that the eyes are responsible for the Isser, not the Machshava. So a little bit of lumdus before we get into the practical halacha. Again, what is the Isamid Araisa? Is it in the Machshava? That's more of the Rambam. Or is the Isamid Araisa even already at that first stage with the eyes? If I'm not mistaken, that's the way Rabbeinu Yonah, at least certainly according to the Orchos Chaim, would present the halacha. And on a very practical level, obviously this is all going to be somewhat irrelevant because all of it is going to be forbidden, and we'll learn more about the details in a second.
Nafkamina, you're a photographer.
Very good.
Okay, or you're a doctor.
Very
good. Two nafkaminas.
Very good. So we have to learn about when we can be maybe meikil, but my point being that none of this is going to be permissible when the intentions are not. Okay, that's all I meant to say. You're right, Amy. Yeah. Practically no, but that is why I said that, because in the halacha, like you say, the original Gemara, right? So there's a difference between the women who are single versus not, but all single women nowadays anyway no longer go to the mikveh and would have the status of one of the arayos because they're needed anyway. So it's not like you're really going to get a heter out of that, but yes, like in the original Makoros, the Gemara,
right,
the Rambam,
you might marry her, but the nature's issues.
Right, very good, very good,
so
very good. Very good. Meaning, for example, the Shulchan Aruch says you should look at the single woman before you marry her. You know, you're supposed to. It's a mitzvah. You're not allowed to marry a woman unless you know what she looks like, etc. And in that context, that's where the halacha makes a distinction between single versus married. That's where I was coming from. And but for this area, we're not making those distinctions. Obviously, it would be completely ridiculous to say that you're allowed to, you know, look at anyone for pleasure. And that's what we'll talk about now. All right. So the Sefer HaChinuch in this week's Parsha says, V'chein mishu tar achar einav, klomashu rodef achar taivas ha'olam, konshu mesem libo tamid. So he's like the Rambam, right, where he gets like steeped into this like lustful lifestyle. He is over alav zed tamid b'chol eis osko. So it's one of these constant lavin, meaning as all the while that you're living like a lifestyle addicted to this kind of thing, you're violating Nisim Midoraisa. And that's why the Biur Halacha, the very first page of Mishnah Berurah, quotes the Sefer Chinuch as one of the mitzvahs tmidius, right? It's a constant mitzvah of fighting Los Asura Achei Levavka, meaning it's a lifestyle. So again, the Sefer Chinuch presents it more like the Rambam as opposed to Rabbeinu Yonah. And obviously, There are different lifestyles that people unfortunately struggle with, but let's go into the practical realm at this point. The Rambam in Isurei Bia, Perikhof Aleph, Halacha Beis, writes the following. The following things are usur. So certainly to make some form of provocative motion to a woman that you're not allowed to be with, v'chein l'shokima, l'haka rosh, to be particularly lightheaded, right? And here's where I underlined, o l'habit b'yofya usur. What does that mean? You're not allowed to look at her beauty. So if hypothetically a taxi driver were to look out a window and say, ooh, what a beautiful woman, that is usur. Now the Rambam then says, ooh, makin hamischavin ladavarzeh makas mardus. What does that mean? It's only midirabbanan, right? Because remember, according to the Rambam, the eyes are not where the isur midoraisa is. The machshava is the isur midoraisa. So the eyes, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to do it. So if someone were to specifically use their eyes to enjoy the physicality of a woman who is not his wife, so that would be absolutely forbidden. Even if you were to look at the finger of a woman, her pinky, literally, right? Again, the Rambam is quoting the Gemara here, that whenever you're looking at a woman for the sake of pleasure, even if it is a body part that is regularly seen, like a finger, but you're looking at it for the sake of pleasure, that's equivalent halachically, or at least it's comparable to looking at a private area of the woman. So we're never allowed to, quote-unquote, check out a woman. You know, if you're at a ball game and there's some woman and you're like, check, it's never, never allowed. So what might be unfortunately very common maybe in the secular world, and is, as we can understand, the Torah world, there is no greater difference between the secular world and the Torah world than in the realm of purity, and this is what we're talking about. So it is, again, never allowed to intentionally look at a woman for the sake of deriving pleasure from her physical beauty. Forbidden. And the question's pretty clear, pretty straightforward. Adam, how are you doing? Fine. All right. Okay. Here we go.
You have to say the midoraisa to the ashes ish.
So who would be...
Rabbanan, it would be anybody else, even a guy. Midoraisa, right, midoraisa is only an Ashes Ish.
So not only an Ish, any of the Chayav Elav.
Any of the Chayav Elav.
The different categories are important to really know. You are right. And we'll learn about it. The Gemara does specifically address non-Jewish women as also being forbidden. But you're right, there is a hierarchy about Doraisa, Dorabanan, etc. Okay, now again, this is intuitive. We kind of know this. That being said, let's try to elaborate a little bit. We're by the Shulchan Aruch now. So we learned a little bit of Lamdus, learned a little bit of Rambam, Derabanans, as opposed to Derises. When the Shulchan Aruch presents this halacha in Evan Ezra Chav Aleph, he says, it's Sarach Adam Lisrachek Manashim Me'od Me'od. And that's a very unique lashon, where he says that a person needs to be exceedingly careful, right, when it comes to distancing from women, because we understand the energy when it comes to this area is particularly strong. Yitzhar has, we'll say, a good track record, unfortunately, when it comes to this area of sin. And therefore, you need to be not just careful, but exceedingly careful, right? Ma'od, ma'od. And he quotes the Rambam verbatim. And then here is where the Shulchan Aruch says something a little bit unique. V'aser li stakel benashim she'omdot ala kvisa. So it used to be that, right, you'd go to the river to do laundry, and that would be maybe an opportunity to, stare at women.
The way they sat.
Well, then maybe they'd roll their skirts up, whatever the legs would be exposed, whatever it is. But Australia is tackled, but big day tzivonim shalishu makira, even just to stare at the clothing, afilu enam aleha. So even to look at the clothing while they're not even on the woman, meaning hypothetically, if there was a clothing line. So not necessarily, but if there is a clothing line, right, and you're staring at the clothing, and you know who the owner of that clothing was, and it could lead to thoughts, afile in malaya. Even if you're not wearing them, you can't stare at them. Now, here's the key line. Shema yavo laharher ba. Because it can lead to thoughts. So the Shulchan Aruch is in line, like, more with the Rambam in the sense that we're mostly afraid about how the eyes will lead to thoughts. So if you look at something, it's going to lead to thoughts. And again, the Shulchan Aruch quotes, "V'mistakel afilu be'etzav ktana shel isha." If you were to look even at the finger of a woman, with the intention of deriving pleasure. So he quotes the Rambam, quoting the Gemara, that any time a man looks at a woman for the sake of pleasure, no good. All right, so this is hopefully obvious. I think it's important to teach, even if it is obvious, because, again, it's the summer. The Western culture is wired to do the opposite of this. We'll talk about that in a second. But let's at least clarify the Torah's perspective that we don't do these things. Yes, Robert.
Something that we should talk about. When you say it's the opposite, it's a woman looking at a married man
The poskim struggle with this one. We definitely assume women have a better control. Let's just say there's a range of poskim. There's like the shayla, where this comes up in halakha often, is where can you recite Kriya Shema? You know, you can't say Kriya Shema in the presence of inappropriately dressed women. So what about a woman saying Kriya Shema by a pool? Right, so we just had this. I'm going to break. I remember we went to, I thought I was this genius. So I rented a hotel room near Muncie on Route 59. It was officially in Nanuet, like in the Hilton Nanuet. So when I get to this pool with my wife and kids and like, you know, pick your minion. You know, they're like, kids learning Gemara in the lobby, and like, and everyone was fully dressed, the most frum pool in the world. Like, my kids are playing with these kids. But Taka, there was a woman saying Tehillim in the corner, fully dressed, hair covered, etc. But whereas I might have thought that, like, I got, you know, a good chak. Now, it was a good deal. We had a good time in the pool. But no, we were not alone. And like, our, like, you know, destination, or whatever, I would recommend, I think it was a Hilton in Nanuet on Route 59. I would highly recommend. It's a nice pool, nice workout room, whatever. My kids had a good time. But Poskim would say that, again, all the men had their shirts on. It was like the most frum thing in the world. That being said, Poskim disagree about women. It's not so clear if it's the same or not. But yes, there's a major discussion. Robert, excellent. Excellent, as always. Okay, so I say this with that background in mind, because let's talk about this Gemara. Maisa b'Reb Shimon Gamliel, Gemara of Avodah Zarah Chaf, going on to Chaf and Mebeis. Reb Shimon Gamliel shaya agabe ma'ala b'har habayis. He was on, I guess, whatever, some form of ledge on har habayis. V'ra'a ovedes kol chavim. Achas Biyosef. He saw an exceedingly beautiful non-Jewish woman. And you know what he said? Ma Rabu Masach Hashem. He praised... he praised Hashem for creating such a beautiful woman. The Rav explained Uduyehu de Kamode. He was just acknowledging, not necessarily benefiting. De Amar Mar Hareb Rios Tovos. There's a halacha. If you see something nice, you say, Baruch Sheh Kacha Bara Ba'olamo. You see a beautiful anything in the world, you praise Hashem. Asks the Gemara, Ulastukule Mishari, is he allowed to even look at such a thing? There's another pasuk in the Torah, V'nishmartem Mikol Davara, Shelo Yistakel Adam Be'isha Noah, V'filu Pnuya, Be'ishas Ish, V'filu Mukhares. So you're not allowed to look at a beautiful single woman and even a non-attractive married woman. So again, here that goes to what you've been speaking about, A.B., so, again, there's a lot there to talk about. What's the difference between Melos Asurah HaRei Levavchem versus V'nishmartem Mikol Devara? They're two different Isurim. And how can Rabbi Shimon Gamliel even see this woman in the first place? What do you think? What do you think the answer is?
On his level.
That's a good answer. That's a great answer. What else? Answers the Gemara. Karen Zavis Havoi. What does that mean? It was a corner. Meaning what? Meaning... they bumped into each other, meaning whereas in a long alleyway, you see kind of what's ahead, and the Gemara speaks about how if you're going to walk behind someone, you should cross the street. You're not supposed to walk behind the woman, whatever. Talk about that shortly. But here, if you kind of just bump into the person, you bump into the person. So once he bumped into her, and he recognized her beauty, okay, so he makes the bracha. Wow. Pretty amazing. So what am I bringing this Gemara in for? We're all living in the Karen Zavis. We're all living in the Karen's Zavis. Remember my Rav, Moda Asra, my Rebbe, Rabbi Shlomo Hochberg, I asked him, I guess, about this tight topic once, and he said to me, you know, when you drive into Midtown, where he worked in Stern College for many, many, many years, as the Mashiach Ruchani, He said, well, you can't drive with your eyes closed. And he said, but you can't drive with your eyes open either. So catch 22. So which one do you pick, right? You know, and the whole world, I think, is this Karen Zavis, where it's like, you know, you try doing anything without being exposed to anything. And I think we all live in the Karen Zavis. And I remember, you know, I was once, you know, I think it was 10 years ago or so, 8, 9 years ago, whatever, the New York Rangers were advancing pretty far into the Stanley Cup Finals. And my good, I was already a Rebbe in TABC, so my buddies, my Talmidim, were updating me on the sports. And I wanted to look at some highlights with them, you know, before class started. And what happens when you look at sports highlights in this generation? So the commercials could be about something very innocuous, or they could be very provocative. And I was like, here I am, trying to just watch the most kosher thing in the world, you know, get back into some Rangers. And I remember, it was like upsetting, you know. And I remember going back to the YU-based manager that afternoon. I was only half part-time at TABC. And I said to my buddy, Jared Rosenfeld, who's now a rabbi, is going to be in the Florida Kollel. And I said, it's so upsetting. I wanted to look at Ranger highlights. And him and I used to go to Ranger games together in high school. And he's like, yeah, I know, it's just upsetting. It's just upsetting. But then he said, but Yoni, don't worry. You didn't do anything wrong because you didn't really dwell on it. It kind of just, it was like the Karen Zavis. And he was basically quoting this Mishnah Berurah to me. The Mishnah Berurah, in the context of Hilchos Kriyas Shema, makes this distinction that my buddy Rabbi Jared, Rabbi Tzvi Rosenfeld, says. Aval inyan isri stakulos, the kuli amah mistakul v'isha afilu bespektana, kevon che mistakul balehanos over balavlos asurach enechem, as we've said tonight many times. Anytime you intentionally look to derive pleasure, it's asur los asur. V'amru shavili yesh b'yad the Torah ma'asim tovim, even if you're very pious, lo yinok em medina shal gehenim, you're going to be held accountable for intentionally looking, gazing at women. However, says the Mishnah Berurah, like my Betty Rabbi Rosenfeld said, "V'ri'iya ba'alma lefitumo belonana shari." But if you were to see something, if it caught your eyes, but you didn't really intentionally derive pleasure, that would be okay. He says, "Im lo mitzad hamusr." Okay, so obviously, you shouldn't be in that situation, but you can't say someone did anything wrong when it comes to a re'iya ba'alma. But here's my question. There's a difference between a re'iya ba'alma on a woman's face, and you say, wow, that's a beautiful woman. And like Rabbi Shimon Leo, he bumped into a woman and said, beautiful woman, Hashem, you know, beautiful to creation. Versus the re'iya ba'alma of our generation. Because the Mishnah Berurah then quotes the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim says that if it's a part of the body that should and normally is covered, even a re'iya ba'alma is forbidden. Oh my gosh. Says the Prima Gadim, Haba Machusa af re'iya ba'alma aser. Of course, it's based on Rashi, which means, so let's say I want to look at Rangers highlights, right? And all of a sudden, there's some crazy, provocative commercial leading up to the Rangers highlights. And let's just say the body parts that are exposed on that commercial, you know, are the body parts that are supposed to be covered up. So can I now justify my re'iya ba'alma? I didn't think about it. I didn't dwell. It just hit my eyes. It's just a re'iya ba'alma. Justified or not justified? So maybe, according to everyone else besides for the Prima Gadim, it's just a re'iya ba'alma. Remember we said the three stages, the eyes, the taiva, and then the action. So I didn't let it affect my taiva. I didn't dwell on it. Ah, very good. So it says Jerome, we know you're playing with fire. It's a ruach matsuya, very nice terminology. And I'm saying it more like this. It's not like you're just going to see some, you know, beautiful face. You know, you're going to see who knows what. You know what I'm saying? The standards and the appropriate boundaries, unfortunately, are no longer appropriate. So you could see a whole lot, you know, without there being any illegal, you know, ratings. And that's the problem. The Dvar Mamachusim. But at the same time, we're alive and well in 2022. And all right, man, listen. Yeah, but even the Dvar Mamachusim that the Prima Gadim is talking about are now normal, which means it doesn't affect us in the same way anymore. Meaning, yes, even if you were to see the body parts that are generally covered, but even those body parts, it's just a re'iya ba'alma. Maybe don't be so machmir for the Prima Gadim. It's just a re'iya ba'alma. So the Radvaz, you know, started in Spain, ended up in Sfat. He unfortunately was expelled from the from Spain and the Spanish Inquisition. He writes a tshuva about, do you still need to cross the street nowadays if you're walking behind a woman? Gemara says, if you're walking behind a woman, you have to walk away. And like nowadays, the question asked, the women are from, the women are covered. What's the big deal? He said, who cares? Who cares about nowadays? The Gemara makes a halacha. The Gemara makes a halacha. He says, lo nasnu razal divrem l'shiurin. Wow. He says, if you walk behind a woman and you could understand her figure and her, you know, whatever, from the body, it's going to lead to the second stage. The eyes are going to lead to the thoughts. Usser. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a letter about this tshuva. And he says, listen, the whole assumption of the Gemara is that you're going to be walking behind the woman and move away and no longer be behind the woman.
That's more worse.
Right, but if the street is filled with women, and you think you're doing yourself a favor by going from one side of Ben Yehuda Street to another side, like, that's not really going, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you go from the frying pan into
So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach basically said, not that this doesn't apply, but it only applies to a situation where you're going from toxic to kosher, not from toxic left to toxic right, you know? So, you know, it's a very sharp point, obviously. So let's just try to conclude some other practical ideas. The Maseches Baba Basar and Zayin Mabez Va'otzem Einav Meiros Bira Amruchei Bar Abba Zeh She'ein Mestakab Menashim B'Shesh Omedes Ala Kavisa. So someone is praised for not dwelling upon the beautiful woman in the laundry situation. The Gemara says, wait a minute. Teichidami Idi Ika Darcha Charisa Rashahu. If he had the opportunity to go a different way, he's a Rasha for even going to that place. Imagine saying, I was really, really good boy. I went to a certain inappropriate place, but I kept my eyes closed. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? If you didn't need to be there, you're a Rasha for even going there. And if you didn't need to be there, it's not your fault anyway. No. So the Gemara says, really what? La'olam deleika darchach. He said, he needed to be there to do laundry. But he still needs to really exert himself to what? To cover his eyes. So this Gemara, in my opinion, like the Gemara of Shimon Liel, is everything in our generation. We live in the Derech HaKvisa, so to speak, where we are forced to engage the world where we're going to be in provocative situations, period. And it's not like there's an alternative route. It's just not. And therefore, we still are obligated to kind of go above and beyond, maybe beyond our teva. And the Chavetz Chaim in the Be'er Ma'im Chaim and the Sefer Chavetz Chaim says that we need to be particularly stringent and not naive in this halacha. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about, again, engaging in the workplace, as you predicted, that the real Isser, again, he says, is the second stage, not the first stage. It's more about Hirhurim. So he says, listen, if you need to go to work, ultimately, you need to go to work. And ideally, everyone should be covered. But ultimately, he writes, Tzarech lihishtada b'chola efshe shalol lihistakel. Try as hard as you can not to look. But the ikkar is lehasiach daitum b'chol hirhur. But the ikkar is to keep your head clear. And I think, again, at the buzzer beater, let's stop there. But ultimately, again, there's a big difference between stage one and stage two. Your eyes are going to see things, but it doesn't mean you let it dwell to the machshava. And every person in 2022 has to engage in this world. And let us all have the strength to control stage one. And whatever our eyes might be exposed to, let's let it stay in the eyes and not lead it to stage two, but that doesn't mean we're supposed to put ourselves into situations that we don't need to be in. If you need to go to work, you need to go to work. But that doesn't mean you need to do other things. So you have to be extremely honest. The Chashuki Chemedi quotes from Kanevsky is about Kiruv. What do I have to do Kiruv? And the women are not dressed appropriately, obviously not from women. So he says, Rav Chaim Kanevsky, he says, close your eyes and open your heart. That's what he said. So we need to close our hearts and open our hearts at the same time. Shul bizocha to have the seichel and the strength to get through the sugya and navigate this world. Have a wonderful evening.